Hi, guys. Welcome back. Today, I'm chatting with Kate Moore-Youssef, who is a well-being and lifestyle coach for late-diagnosed women with ADHD. If this is you, or you suspect it might be you, or perhaps you received a diagnosis earlier in life like I did, this week's episode is for you. Kate and I are discussing why so many women have been swimming in the dark without the necessary help and support they need to thrive, and how we can begin to show up for ourselves now and move through these feelings of anxiety and overwhelm that can keep us stuck, looping, and often disconnected from ourselves and the lives we're fully capable of creating. You're listening to the Reframing Neurodiversity Podcast, and I'm your host, Melissa Jackson. I help women with ADHD get to the root of their symptoms so they can begin to heal and pass a new way down to their kids. I believe that by supporting women, we help our children too. Let's talk about it. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I'm so excited to be talking to my guest today, Kate Moore-Youssef, who is the host of the ADHD Women's Wellbeing Podcast. She's also a well-being and lifestyle coach and EFT practitioner for late diagnosed ADHD women and the author of the soon-to-be-released ADHD Women's Wellbeing Toolkit. Welcome, Kate. Thank you so much for hanging out today and chatting.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's nice to be here.
So I absolutely love what you do, but would be so curious to hear more about how do you support late in life diagnosed women with ADHD, with lifestyle and well-being? What does that mean for you and the women that you work with?
Yeah, so I love helping and guiding people to find their potential, to finally feel fulfilled, to thrive in life, to find a way to move out of that overwhelm and all this kind of anxiety and all this sort of lack of understanding, which normally kind of like happens after an ADHD diagnosis. So we've kind of lived our lives, many years, decades of our lives, not quite understanding ourselves. And so I was exactly the same. I was diagnosed at the age of 40, and I spent so many years just questioning myself the whole time. So I was already coaching people, coaching women mostly. And I was noticing that the women I was attracting were very similar to me, but because I didn't have, I couldn't articulate it. So I was kind of calling in the women who were feeling overwhelmed and anxious and unfulfilled and thinking there was a potential that they hadn't reached, but they couldn't understand why. And they felt there was lots of blocks in the way. And then my own ADHD diagnosis gave me so many answers and helped me not only help myself, but understand my past, understand my family, but also for my kids as well, so I could understand and help them. So it slotted lots of things into place. And then it was just a natural progress. I was like, well, these are the people that I want to be helping. I just didn't have the words. I didn't have the language.
Right.
And now, you know, thankfully, nearly, you know, 5 years later, we are, so many of us are understanding what's been going on, thankfully, because we've all been sort of swimming around in the dark without the help or the support or the knowledge or the awareness. So yeah, that's kind of my job, kind of broken up a little bit.
I love that. I have ADHD as well. I was diagnosed at 15 though, and still felt like the overwhelm and the self-judgment and a lot of the shame around not quite fitting into the way things should be done and bumping up against just the society that we live in and the constructs and the environments that are there for us as adults and kids has always been, a challenge, even with an earlier in life diagnosis. And I find it so fascinating that so many women are being identified later in life. And I attribute it to, like, because I was very much like the good girl in school, and I was well behaved, and I had that inattentive type of ADHD. So I just kind of flew under the radar, which I feel like happens to so many women, right? Which maybe leads to these later in life diagnoses and not understanding themselves. Do you see that too?
For sure. Yeah. I can totally relate. That was me as well. Now, I have two brothers who were diagnosed in childhood. So I was in between those two brothers who were very challenging for my parents, because even though they had the diagnoses, the only real option was Ritalin. You know, this is like late 80s. There was no understanding of anything else really. From actually, my mum was quite forward thinking. Like, she kind of knew intuitively that maybe nutrition, there was, you know, if there was different ways of sort of feeding them, that they'd maybe kind of react better, you know, mm-hmm. to food. But essentially, it was just them, my parents having to manage two very unruly boys who had ADHD but weren't looked after at school, weren't really cared for, you know, went from school to school, teachers, you know, constantly lambasting them. So for me, I was the good girl. I was the yeah. quiet one. I was the one that wasn't particularly academic, but, you know, because I wasn't causing any chaos or trouble, I was very introverted in some ways, but also very sort of like head in the clouds and daydreamy and all things like mm-hmm. that. So I caused no concern to my parents. Mm-hmm. But as I was getting older and older, it was like more, you know, kind of like profound to me that there was something else going on. But because it didn't show up like it did for my brothers, there was no cause for concern at all, which is what, you know, so many people, you know, speak about, as we know, with hormones and women, and as we go through different periods of our life, you know, postnatally and perimenopause, it comes to the forefront. Mm-hmm. And then with all the other stresses that life brings as we
yeah.
you know, get older, we find it harder and harder to cope and to juggle it all until life does become very overwhelming. And then we start realizing that actually maybe there's something else going on, and that's when we get our ADHD diagnoses. But sadly, for many, many people, it's too little too late. You know, it's like a late 50s, early 60s. They've struggled for so long, and it's very sad because they would have loved that help, you know, in their 40s. Yeah. So in a way, I'm very grateful that even though at the age of 40, I feel quite grateful that I'm able to understand myself and hopefully go through perimenopause with better tools and support and understanding yeah. and also help my kids as well. So, yeah.
I love this. It's so interesting because we have such a similar experience in the type of kid we were in school and kind of how it manifested for us and all of that. And even though I received a diagnosis at 15, like you mentioned, the only support strategy was Ritalin. So I was given Ritalin through like high school and college, and that really helped me concentrate. You know, it improved my grades in a way. It helped me realize, oh, when I pay attention, I do better. So it helped my self-esteem a bit. But there was, aside from that, there was no support, you know what I mean, besides taking the little pill to make you focus. And so I took that medication during those years and then moved into adulthood and then into motherhood. And I started noticing the overwhelm, you know, because the demands as we get older of motherhood and hormones, as you mentioned, I just started feeling very overwhelmed by the experience and realizing that even though I had a diagnosis earlier on, I was never given tools that really helped me to heal or to leverage my strengths or to cope with some of the things that came up in healthy ways. So I'm curious, how do you help women? I think it's so beautiful what you do. So how do you help women who learn this about themselves later in life and are experiencing this intense, oftentimes overwhelm, burnout, you know, negative self-image, and then, as you mentioned, even perimenopause? I'm so curious how all of that impacts us as ADHD women. And at this point in life, what do you believe really supports us as a community and really showing up for ourselves?
So, I mean, I've got the podcast, but the ADHD yeah. Women podcast. So I'd say that's probably like a massive part of what I do, because mm-hmm. for me to have, when I launched the podcast 3 years ago, there was nothing out there. There were podcasts about ADHD, few and far between, some really good ones, but there was nothing about well-being and lifestyle and
yeah.
the more holistic side that wasn't just take the pill and everything will be fine.
Yes.
And I was desperate for more help. And I think my interest anyway, when I was training to be a well-being and health coach, my life before that was always about, you know, integrative health and trying to find ways to make myself feel calmer, more regulated and rested, because I knew that I had this propensity for feeling the complete opposite of all of that. So I think I was already chasing this, like, what, you know, how can yes. I help myself? So yeah. that kind of blended. It was probably I was very interested in it. My mum was very similar. She was doing yoga back in the 80s. Mm. we know that she's got ADHD. So she was intuitively trying to help herself through whatever means she could find. And then I guess I was doing the same. I used to work in PR back in the day. And a lot of my clients were well-being clients because I was just naturally more aligned. So always the health and the well-being side. So it just fell into place that if I was going to talk about ADHD, it was always going to be about well-being and lifestyle and how we can find these more holistic ways of helping ourselves when the doctors don't really know what's going on. The women's health, you know, experts still don't really understand this connection. We're only just understanding the connection between hormones and how they show up in different parts of our life, you know, from puberty onwards. So I just went on this one woman mission to ask all the questions. And, you know, back 3 years ago, I only had like three people I could ask about hormones. You know, there was literally, remember, it was Dr. Wasserstein, Dr. Jeanette Wasserstein, who probably, I think is probably in her 60s, late 60s. And she was the only doctor I could find who had any information on hormones and ADHD. And she was probably like my top five, you know, the first five episodes I did. And for me, it was groundbreaking. And she was so happy to speak to someone to get this out there because the studies were so few and far between. The research wasn't there. She was noticing it. Just some doctors and psychiatrists were noticing, like, women are coming to me. And actually, the women that are coming to me, their ADHD is at their worst, you know, before their period, or at the worst after childbirth, or at the worst, you know, in their 40s. What's this connection? They were making all these connections, but, you know, it was not trickling down to mainstream health. So thankfully it is now, but, you know, it's still, if you speak to your local doctor, they'll be like, oh, I don't really know much about that. You know, the ADHD in women, not quite sure. So I felt very passionate about this. And so the podcast for me was sort of the way I try to leverage as much awareness as possible. And then now I don't do as much one-to-one coaching, but I do group coaching. I try and do workshops. I've written a book. So yeah, I think for me, it's trying to get this information out to the masses while also not burning myself out, because I'm just the same as everyone I'm trying to help. You know, like, I'm no different. I just have maybe a little bit more awareness so I can, you know, press that, you know, press the stop a little bit earlier before that burnout kicks in. But it takes me by surprise still, you know, like, I'll push. So passionate, so excited, so many ideas, so enthusiastic. And then something happens and I will just be like, I cannot do anything for like a week. I'm just so tired. So yeah, I'm still dealing with everything that we all deal with, but I'm trying to just get that information out there so other people can understand for themselves and they can be empowered by the information and then maybe help their kids as well.
It's so beautiful. And I really feel like the people who have walked it themselves, who have that lived experience, are the people in the position to really help others the most, because you know it on such a deep level and you've had to show up for yourself and give yourself these tools to move through the same things. And so not just from a compassionate space, but from a true understanding of what this community means, I think it's invaluable to work with people who have been through it. I'm so curious to know more about, how do our hormones impact us as women with ADHD?
Yeah. So what I find a lot is that women who are just connecting the dots and understanding, you know, how it's shown up in their life, a lot of the women will always say, I've had horrendous PMS or, you know, PMDD, which is next step. Absolutely debilitating, and unfortunately can lead to sort of suicidal thoughts. And so if women are struggling for 2 weeks of their cycle and they are very low in mood and feel depressed and low energy and bleed heavily and just really, really struggle, then we're noticing that a lot of ADHD women are suffering like that. They've suffered sort of with, you know, their reproductive health, whether they maybe have been diagnosed with endometriosis or just very heavy periods. We're really kind of recognizing, and it's all obviously hormone impacted, there's still not 100% the connections. They quite don't, we know obviously estrogen and dopamine are related. So that's all mood and emotional regulation mm-hmm. and our cognition, sleep, all things like that. But we're still, I don't think from what I know is that they understand exactly why it's causing sort of more of the endometriosis, that type of thing, whether it's inflammation. They're still trying to figure this all out. However, hormones are directly related because we know with the fluctuations of estrogen directly impact our dopamine levels. So they are interconnected. And so when we know our estrogen drops towards the end of our cycle, we know our dopamine's dropping, which then means that if we've been holding it together with our ADHD, you know, towards, I'd say, like the first 10 days of our cycle, we're sort of noticing it's there, but it feels manageable. Mm-hmm. And we can kind of like laugh it off a little bit, or it's not directly impacting our life. What we do notice is then, and it's like a pattern, that the last kind of, say, 2 weeks of our cycle, it's like hard. Life is hard.
Yeah.
Doing everything is hard. Work is hard. Our mood is hard. Our relationships are hard. We're feeling more rejection sensitivity. We're feeling like we are not good in our jobs, our imposter syndrome. It almost feels like we're living alternate sort of universes half our life.
Yeah.
I hear this a lot. So, and we try really hard to push through it, but yeah. because it's hormone related, it's harder. We're more exhausted. We're more fatigued. We are then more prone to things like autoimmune conditions because we're pushing mm-hmm. so much. We're so exhausted. We're trying to override something that's neurobiological, which we thought was like a personality flaw. We probably, many of us have thought there's a defect. Mm-hmm. And there's something wrong with us, that we're lazy, that we're broken, that we need to try harder, that we are just not trying enough. Like, we just need to be better, which feeds into so much of this sort of self-criticism. Mm. But then when we get this understanding that it is neurobiological, that we might have to rest a bit more, that we need to nurture ourselves, that we do need to really look at our lifestyle and our health and our well-being, like really invest in it, then we start seeing these subtle changes and a bit of more kind of, I don't know, just something feels a bit more softer. We don't have so much kind of pressure to keep performing all the time. So for me, first thing I say to a woman, if it's possible, you know, stop practicing menstrual cycle awareness if that's possible for you. If you're able to start tracking your cycle, so then you're understanding where you're going to need more help, where you can delegate more, where you need to rest more, where you need to pull back more, where you need to have better boundaries, where you don't, you know, put loads of meetings in, where you, you know, take a bit of time off work. All of this is, we notice there's a bit more of a flow. And the waves that we ride are not as extreme. You know, those highs and lows aren't as debilitating and don't impact us as much. So we're still going to have the waves, mm-hmm. but they're just going to feel a bit easier to ride.
Yeah.
So our ADHD doesn't disappear, but the way we kind of show up in life and the way we look after ourselves does change. And we do have to prioritize that. And it can feel a bit like, ooh, a bit jarring, because if we are the ambitious go-getters, we want to get things done, we have ideas, we're the, you know, I speak from experience, I want to keep going, I've got a lot of stuff to do and things I want to achieve. Mm-hmm. I can't do that all, you know, consistently all month. So for me, having that awareness was just so almost groundbreaking, because I take that pressure off myself now. So I show up when I really feel like, yes, I've got mm-hmm. the energy. But when it's time to retreat and it's time to pull back, I do that without judgment. So, and it takes a bit of time and it takes a bit of practice, and it really does take a lot of self-awareness.
I love this. I relate to everything you're saying so much. And I hadn't actually attributed my own experience to hormones until this moment with you. So thank you. My whole life, I struggled with significant PMS and even had multiple autoimmune stuff. And it was always a huge source of struggle for me. And it wasn't until I started diving into understanding my nervous system and implementing more emotional regulation strategies in my life. And it wasn't like from a lens of like, because I have ADHD or even because I wanted to heal my autoimmune or wanted to heal, you know, reduce my PMS symptoms. It was just like, I think it's like when you're on this healing journey of getting to know yourself and what your body needs, it was a natural unfolding.
Yeah.
But I can see now as you speak to it, it's like, oh my goodness, that's why I don't have active autoimmune symptoms. My cycles are much smoother. I don't have this extreme, intense, overwhelming, debilitating, really, PMS I had for years. And I can see it's these practices, it's the emotional regulation strategies, it's the showing up for ourselves, the tuning into our cycles, giving ourselves permission to rest when our bodies need to rest. And I know you support ADHDers specifically with EFT. I love EFT. Will you tell us a little bit more? How has that played into all of this?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you touched on the nervous system, that is like such a big part of everything.
Yes.
You know, but also professionally. And again, for me, it was like that realization, okay, this is my nervous system that is running the show here. So when I'm hypervigilant and overwhelmed and telling myself I need to keep doing and being more productive, that I could never rest. I still find it hard to rest.
Yes.
I still have this part, a big part of me that is like, what are you doing? You meant to be working. Why are you sitting down?
Right.
You know, why aren't you being productive? There's something, I have this constant, you know how people have these reoccurring nightmares? Mm-hmm. I have this reoccurring awake nightmare, whatever you want to call it, of you've missed something.
Mm-hmm.
Something you're meant to be doing. There's, why are you resting? Something that you've not answered an email or you should
have. I have
somewhere.
That too. That's so interesting.
Yeah. And that's our nervous system that has been so finely tuned to probably being in kind of hypervigilant mode that maybe had missed things that we don't quite trust ourselves, that we kind of recognize where our pitfalls, our challenges have been. And we've overcompensated and we've just kind of been like, well, I just need to keep checking and I'll check my diary, check my emails. But when we're in that space, our nervous system is never regulated. It's just constantly on. You're in this kind of fight or flight mode. So I didn't know any of this, but I knew, I sensed there was something going on that was just constantly restless and very dysregulated. I trained in some of the coaching modalities. I felt there was something missing. I felt that I needed something a bit, I don't even know, intuitive. I love quite holistic and woo-woo type things and energy work. I was just very drawn to it. Like I just experienced it and I thought, I need to train in this. It was just, it was a real kind of like attraction to whatever that was. I just needed to be able to train in it so I could help other people.
Yeah.
Which I did. I went through the different levels and I absolutely loved it. And I've seen the most incredible shifts. If anybody doesn't know what EFT is, it's emotional freedom technique and it's tapping. So you might have heard it being, you know, called tapping. And we are tapping on meridian points around our face and around our body and hands. And it's really, it's very much about clearing energy and bringing, you know, bringing things to the forefront, releasing things. So we're not holding on to all of this in our body. Mm. So it's very somatic. We're working on releasing stuck energy. We're releasing emotions and allowing them to come up and have their say. And, you know, in this Western world, we've been very much conditioned to suppress and not speak about what we've done and how we feel. And especially as women, we're told to kind of like be quiet, don't rock the boat, don't be that person that, you know, says what they, you know, what they're thinking. You know, especially for me, it was just kind of like, just keep quiet. It's just easier if you keep quiet and you don't need to say that thing. But that is what causes all of these autoimmune conditions. And we know there's a crazy statistic of women are something like, I don't know, 60% more likely to have autoimmune conditions than men.
I heard Dr. Gabor Mate speak to that recently. I think it's like 80%. It's like, and he attributed it to people pleasing, like what you're speaking to, the suppression of our feelings.
Right.
And this connection to autoimmune conditions. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Which is crazy when you think about it. Like we are suppressing so much to please others and we've got no boundaries because other people, we've been taught that other people priorities over our own needs. So EFT is actually very powerful because it allows us in this sort of therapeutic setting or on our own. We teach a lot of people. I've got workshops on my website on how to use EFT specifically for ADHD, but how we can use it to process emotions, understand our emotions, and then let them go. So it's very much about that. And it's really effective. It's very quick and it's very powerful. So I use it a lot. I use it a lot when I'm feeling dysregulated. I feel like my nervous system needs calming and regulating. You can use it just tapping and breathing. If you just in a moment and you just need, 3 minutes to calm and regulate your nervous system, it's really good for things like panic attacks. If you don't like public speaking or flying or something's about to happen, you're going to go and have a hospital appointment, anything where you can feel this kind of your heightened emotions, you can feel your nervous system kind of going into that overdrive. We can bring it down with the tapping and the breathing, but we can also tap and we can talk and say, I'm really nervous. So, I'm really nervous. I'm really scared or I'm really angry right now. Mm-hmm. I'm so annoyed. How dare this person do this? Why am I in this position again? All the things that we've been told and taught as good girls not to say out loud, we can tap and speak it out. And you'll notice that there'll be emotion, there'll be tears, but there'll also be yawning, which is our way of our nervous system showing us that we're kind of like calming and grounding.
Yeah,
you might just notice that you're really tired afterwards, like exhausted. You might just need to go and have a sleep. So it shows how it works. Like it actually somatically shows us that we are tapping on these meridian points, which are calming everything down. And we also know it's very good for reducing cortisol. So it's the stress hormone. Mm-hmm. If we are actively de-stressing ourselves, we are reducing the inflammation in our body, which also contributes to things like gut issues, migraines, autoimmune conditions, PMS, anything like that. So if we know we're reducing cortisol, which is inflammatory, we're reducing inflammation all over our body. I suffered for years with IBS and I had, no idea. I mean, so many divergent women have struggled with gut issues. And I had no idea that, I just thought it was dairy. I thought it was dairy intolerant. Didn't know it was emotions. And I just find it really, really helpful for women to be able to connect these dots and kind of go, so I wasn't imagining it.
Right.
It did invalidate me and that person did gaslight me. And I knew intuitively that that was connected or this, or my mum had something similar, but she never spoke about it. Or I saw that with my grandma. And I find that is so powerful as part of the healing journey. Because when we can heal from past generational trauma, it's almost like wiping the slate clean and then we move forwards. We move forward, we help our kids, help ourselves as well. We need to model to our kids, that's not how I want to do things anymore in our family. We can break these generational cycles. So these conversations that we're having right now is just, it's life-changing for people. And they're not having to go to a doctor and they're not having to take lots of supplements and medication, which are all fantastic. But I think an understanding, like you said, that moment when you kind of made that connection between your PMS and hormones and your ADHD, I think just to have that kind of go, I knew that in myself anyway, but now you're validated.
That validation. And it's so empowering because so often we're looking for that validation externally, whoever it's from even the doctors we go to, and we're not receiving it. And so it's like when we can give that to ourselves and then we have tools like EFT to regulate our own nervous system and find that feeling of safety and calm in our body. So many of these symptoms I feel we're experiencing are nervous system reactions, right? Those being in burnout, being in fight or flight, it contributes to so much of our dysregulation. And then, like you mentioned, we're perpetuating these generational cycles without knowing it, onto our kids. And so I love EFT for kids too. Do you?
I love it.
Such a beautiful.
My little daughter. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just such an opportunity to shift patterns in our families. And when we show up for ourselves as mothers, then we get to show up and co-regulate with our kids and show them a different way. And I just so strongly believe that our children can't learn to self-regulate unless we know how to self-regulate first and hold that space for them. And that's truly what shifts so many of the things we struggle with as ADHDers. Do you feel that?
Oh, 100%. And actually, I just did a two-part workshop called Reclaim Your Calm, exactly on this, about learning how the power of self-regulation for our families and our relationships. So really prioritizing the notion of co-regulation and probably recognizing that maybe we didn't have that in our house because our parents didn't know any of this. They didn't have the resources. You know, therapy wasn't accessible. This language wasn't accessible. No one knew anything. And we are probably, you know, the first generation to be able to then model to our kids, you know, how things could be. So I did this two-part workshop. It's actually on demand now. It's on my website. People are interested. And it was teaching specifically how to use tapping to calm and regulate and ground and feel safe in our body so we can change the course of our parenting and change the way we show up. Because I think so many of us probably can, you know, relate to chaotic households, parents who didn't know how to regulate, not recognizing the impact of how all their dysregulation had on us as well. So like exactly like you say, we have to choose to learn all of this so we can hopefully have calmer, more, you know, grounded, you know, households, and hopefully show them that it is possible. I think it's so I think it's so powerful, because we are in this moment in time where we are choosing to break generational cycles because we have awareness.
Yes.
If you don't have awareness, you can't change anything.
Yeah. So it's not about blaming previous generations, because they didn't have the tools or the awareness. But when we do, it's such this beautiful opportunity to step into a new way, not only for ourselves, but then for our kids. Because I feel like that's why I love that you're helping women. I'm leaning into refining more of my work to helping mothers as well, because I just feel like we're at the root of so much. And when we heal ourselves, how powerful that is for future generations.
Yeah, very much. It is amazing. And I think what we have to look at it is that no one's perfect. Where I'm parenting isn't perfect. I'm sure my kids are going to look back and kind of say, she messed me up in this way and that way. All of this, like, it's not about perfection. It's about just doing something different, like getting curious, trying something that maybe you've not tried before. And if you notice that you have gone through cycles of burnout and exhaustion and feeling like your nervous system is constantly, you know, frazzled and frenzied, it's kind of saying, right, what can I do now to choose something that's going to help me and maybe my life feel calmer, or maybe something I can do to, you know, prioritize myself and my self-care. Because when, as women, if we are mums and we have got a household, I genuinely believe that if we're not prioritizing ourselves and our self-care, we're doing a disservice to everyone else in the house. So actually, us having this time is much better than, yes, sign up to another club. Yes, I'll drive you somewhere. Yes, I'm going to cook like 5 healthy meals a week. We have to make choices that actually we say, you know what? If it means I can have a bath and relax tonight and not have to race around, we're going to get a takeaway.
Yeah.
And that's self-care, because there's so much pressure. There's so much pressure to do everything perfect, be perfect and do everything well and read the books, know it all. It's almost gone like the other way a little bit, this pressure.
Yes.
And it's trying to find that balance a little bit now of how can I look after myself and serve myself and prioritize my needs, while also recognizing that I can't do it all. I can't be perfect Instagram person that everybody wants to be, and work and shop and cook and be an amazing wife and do all the things that everyone wants us to do, because it's just not possible. It's just physically not possible anymore.
It's not. And it's almost like we've been measuring the wrong thing, you know, because all those things are like, what are we doing to do it right or perfect or whatever? It's like, Are we, you know, cooking all the right meals, signing you up for all the right activities, driving you everywhere, being available in all these external ways that I think we've taken on as like, these are things we have to do to be good parents. And it's what I'm realizing in my own journey is it's so much more about the being than the doing. Like, how am I showing up for this experience? How is my child feeling in relationship to me? Are they feeling connected? Are they feeling safe? Am I able to self-regulate so they can hold space for their feelings? I'm just seeing that is where the emphasis needs to be, to really be doing what I feel is of the greatest service to our kids and for ourselves, right? It's like we hear it all the time, like you can't pour from an empty cup, but it's like, it's so true. If we're not giving those things to ourselves and showing up for ourselves, it's literally impossible to then show up for our children.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
And I think when we neurodivergent, we are more sensitive, like things are harder. Sure.
Yeah.
We're emotionally more sensitive, physically more sensitive. We're battling kind of like a life of a lot of confusion and not understanding, feeling not enough, not worthy. Yeah. And so it's very much, we have to really now, when we have this understanding, say, okay, that's, you know, I'm going to make a change now, because otherwise you're going to be poorly, you're going to be ill. And if you've already been ill and you've gone through that, it's not going to change until you make that change. So yeah, I think a lot of women might need to have these wake up calls before they get really sick. It's really important.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I can look back in hindsight, because like you, I've had the IBS, the gut issues, and I've chased the external remedies and the food and all of that stuff. But I really believe at the root of most of that is emotional. And you know, when I started setting boundaries in my life, I stopped people pleasing, I started self-validating, I started slowing down and tuning into like what's a real yes for me, you know, and what's a real no, and honoring myself. It's amazing how our bodies start to heal. And I think it's almost counterintuitive, because we feel like we've got to be doing all these things, but so much of it is the slowing down and tuning into ourselves. That's where like the healing happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I really, really love the work you're doing. Thank you so much for speaking to women and showing up for us in this space. It's so needed. I think we need more support, more validation, and people who are trailblazing and showing us that it's okay. It's not only okay, it's needed to take a pause, care for ourselves. It's just, it's really important work. So tell us more about how people can connect with you. I know you have a book, you said. Is it released or soon to be released?
Well, depending when this podcast comes out, it should be able to be pre-ordered on wherever you get books from about early March. Okay. So if you kind of like look for the ADHD Women's Wellbeing Toolkit, you should be able to pre-order it. You can listen to me on the podcast as well, the ADHD Women's Wellbeing podcast, or you can head to my website and you'll have everything on there, which is adhdwomenswellbeing.co.uk. So it's, yeah, all the things and the on-demand resources are there as well. So if people, and they've got free resources too. So yeah, hopefully there's enough things going on for whoever needs it in different capacities.
Oh, I love this. Thank you so much, Kate. This is just a beautiful offering and support to this community. And it's been so great chatting with you. I feel very aligned in your approach and how you're helping women. So just thank you.
Likewise. So nice to meet you. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you so much for joining me. If you like this podcast, please be sure to rate, subscribe, and share it with a friend who might need it. And if you're curious to discover where you're at in your nervous system right now and would like tools to support yourself in whatever state you're in so you can create more safety in your body to feel more grounded and connected with yourself and others, I've created a free quiz that allows you to discover your current state right now and receive a practice with your results for immediate support. Check out the show notes to grab it. I cannot wait to chat with you next time.